Well, a piece very familiar to many folks, La Llorona, the weeping woman, the ghost who roams the waterfront mourning her children.
Tus trenzas causan despecho a Llorona, no por negras ni sedosas, sino porque son dichosas, Llorona, cuando ruedan por tu pecho. Ay de mi Llorona, Llorona de la alta cumbre, yo soy como los arrieros, Llorona.
The children she drowned. Yeah, La Llorona, sung by Sol Martinez. Thank you, Margarita. And yes, we will be doing some celebrating various people in various ways, different cultures. That's for Dia de los Muertos, November 1st and 2nd. Perhaps you will have your own altar to put photos of your dead loved ones. It's a beautiful way of celebrating. This is Carol here with Arts Live and Local on KMUN. And I'm very happy to be here. I'm dedicating this show to this time when the veil is thin between the worlds, to the 11 people and the many more lives that were shattered by the massacre at the Tree of Life 3 years ago this week, and to healing for all in need, especially Lori and Victoria and Debbie, Caroline. Happy birthdays to Gita and Joseph and Susie, Janet, Ray, and Jasmine. Have a full show for you. I'm going to bring my first guests in, and there's some hot stuff going on at the Royal Nebucher Art Gallery. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Good. Glad you're here. And Kristen.
Hola.
Hola.
I'm with my inner Frida today.
Okay. You might need to fiddle with your phone a little bit, though, Kristen. It's got
my speaker is not so good. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Okay. Yeah, that's good. So everybody knows Kristen Schock, especially if you have anything to do with the arts in Astoria, Clatsop County, and or you listen to this program. Kristen is an artist herself. She's also the art department, the full-time art department at the college. There are some other wonderful instructors as well. And she is the Royal Nebucher Gallery director. And coming up very soon, actually, it's opening on November 4th, is a new show, and my guest, Paul Roots, is one of the featured artists. He's the one who's going to speak for all three of the people, two artists and, ready folks, a developmental psychologist. Yeah, that's the combination we've got for this new show. And Paul's going to tell us how, what, why, etc. Kristen, maybe you can just say, how did this exhibit come about?
Well, you know, this show was scheduled to happen before the pandemic, and unfortunately we had to postpone it because it's such an interactive show. We didn't feel like it would do it justice when we were kind of all in lockdown mode. So we're super excited to be able to finally have this exhibit, to have Richard coming all the way from Canada, to have Paul come back up. He's joined us before. They both have exhibited multiple times in the Au Naturel, so we're super excited about this upcoming show.
Is that how this show came about? Something to do with Au Naturel?
It's one of the award shows, so we have multiple different types of awards in the Au Naturel. Unfortunately, it's been on hiatus for this last year and the upcoming year. We had to put it on hold. Hopefully, we'll be bringing it back in 2023. But one of the highest awards is the award show, and we teamed up these two artists that they do very interactive work. You'll be hearing more from Paul about the amazing interactive element that he's introducing to us with this show.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, Paul. Now, I've asked Kristen to feel free, as I do, to interrupt with questions so that we can make sure we and everyone else knows what you're talking about, because this is a rather unusual arrangement. So why don't you take it away? The name of the show, if I'm correct, is Being Moved, Paintings by Richard Machman and Into a Study by Paul Roots and developmental psychologist Jennifer Drake. Now, I'm assuming that you don't carry around a psychologist wherever you go. So what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on? Well, we called it Being Moved as a sort of overarching title because there are two different kinds of interaction going on. Richard's work is really unique. He has he does a lot of nudes. He does other sorts of figurative work, and a lot of it moves. So, and it's not like it's motorized or something. You can reach up, change the faces, change where the hands, holding something different if you turn it around, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he has like a physical interactive thing going on. You know, you have to be there to participate with the object.
Now, is it true that some of his work is actually life-size?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Okay. Okay. And I'm
so
going
to add... There's this, you know, opportunity to connect, you know, more directly with you know, through that object with the subject of the painting, him or herself.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is, you know, usually things say, do not touch, do not touch. And here we're saying... Go ahead, touch. Is that right?
Yeah, and he seems really interested in there being no proper beginning or end or the right way to make your choices as far as, you know, what the faces are doing or what the bodies are doing. And so, you know, mm-hmm. you can make some pretty funny-looking things go on.
Oh, fun. That's
with
great.
This, you know, this work and have them interact. So it's really neat.
Okay, before I let you go on, is there something... Your phone is also echoing. It may be on our side, but I'm wondering if there's...
How's this?
Keep talking.
I just did a switch.
Yes. Yes.
Does that work better?
Much better. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay.
Okay.
Well...
So that's Richard's part. And Richard, I understand, is originally from Mombasa in Kenya, but lives in... since he's a child in British Columbia.
Yeah, he's spent most of his life in Canada, as I understand it, and we'll be flying down, you know, all COVID protocols and international headaches.
Oh, boy. Right,
yeah, so
right.
We're excited. I'm excited to actually meet him. There's been a lot of Zoom calls.
Okay, I was going to ask, so you haven't worked with him before?
No, yeah, and this is all Kristen deciding to put us together, you know.
Wow.
I think she is well aware of both of our work, and so
okay.
I thought we would pair well.
Okay. Okay, now, you are offering, it sounds like a whole, it's an exhibit and a study that you and Jennifer are going to be putting together, a science experiment. What's that about?
That's right.
And where did that come from? Whose brain did that come out of?
Well, a collaboration between art and science is something that's been in the ether for a long time. I mean, I first was read into that in the academic world about 12 years ago. when I was doing my doctorate at Purdue University, I was doing a visual culture degree, and you know, we were really interested in looking at what science could tell us about what happens when art, when we encounter art, what's going on in our bodies, how does it affect us, et cetera. And so people were just starting to kind of look into that as like, oh, we could use science as, you know, critique models. Fast forward to about 2017, I got myself into a funny conundrum where I had to have a painting in two places at once, so the solution was to paint a copy. And that got me thinking a lot about who could notice the differences, you know, are there different kinds of people who could tell, mm-hmm. you know, with different experiences, that kind of thing. So I get on the horn with, you know, my friends who, you know, maybe we used to dance together and now they're neuroscientists. So we actually got some grants to do a couple pilot projects, which due to a number of factors, including our own, you know, sort of trial and error of how to stage something like this actually in an art gallery, which is difficult, and mm-hmm. COVID itself, those partnerships bore a lot of potential fruit, but we weren't able to kind of finish it out. You know, we did the shows, we pulled the data, we analyzed some of it, but we were not able to publish. And so I went looking for a new collaborator, and I started just looking at the people I was reading anyway, you know? And I really admired Jen's work. She does a lot of great work. She's over at City University of New York, Brooklyn College, which
Thank you.
You're very aware of.
Thank you. I grew up swimming in the swimming pool of Brooklyn College. I love these connections that she's an associate professor of psychology at Brooklyn College. Yikes. Wonderful. You know what? Before you even go further, I want to reveal some stuff. I wanted you to start by just talking, but now I want to reveal stuff that I didn't know. I met Paul Roots, my guest, when he accompanied his wife, who put out the... What was the full name of that, Kristen? What was the full name of...
That was our Big-Ass Cinnamon Roll project.
Right, Big-Ass Cinnamon Roll.
We put together, right, last spring.
It was a blast and delicious. Yeah. And then
raised $2,000 for the local food bank.
For the
here.
Food
it was
bank.
Amazing.
It was terrific. And they had done it in Portland. And what, instead of just, they created boxes, and the boxes were all painted. And I got excited about the box that Paul had painted or made. I didn't know it was his. I just liked it. So now, again, fast forward, I read Paul X. Roots, painter and installation artist, originally from Minnesota, went to the Naval Academy, wait, what? And worked on an aircraft carrier. Then he studied ballet for 10 years, and he also wrote for the Pentagon Press Service. I'm shocked. And then he got a PhD in visual culture, a term that I must admit I was unfamiliar with, at Purdue University. So, Paul, you sound like a composite yourself. and I don't know how you made all of these switches from very disparate lives and... Now you're doing art full-time, but now I understand how you organize all kinds of happenings in Portland. I haven't been to them because of distance, but I've read about them and seen pictures. And so, okay, so this study, this science experiment, the idea is how viewers perceive and understand art. But you need a cell phone or a tablet. And you're going to ask people to do what?
So there is a, you walk into the front there of, you know, the gallery, and there should be a QR code, which you can, your phone or tablet, I'm hoping there's a device provided as well by the gallery, just in case people don't have cell phones.
Thank you.
Kristen, thumbs up.
We'll find out. Yeah.
We hope so. So, but you essentially just get the camera on that device to scan the QR code, which should take you to a survey, and then that's the frame around which you're looking at a bunch of paintings, 12 paintings that were. So there are two ways that this is a very tight collaboration, a very unique collaboration between art and science. The first way is that these paintings never would have been made except for Jen and I arguing. Okay. I'm serious about it. Yeah. I contacted her. We had a bunch of great conversations. We kind of both went back to our reading lists, you know, let me refresh myself on that thing, and kind of came up with, okay, like, here's some stuff we could do. We could actually collaborate together and study these things that we don't know yet about the world of art. Right. And mm-hmm. a lot of the ways that we know about how people interact with paintings, let's say, is not watching people look at paintings. It's usually undergrads sitting in a lab looking at a screen, looking at digital images of paintings. And so you can imagine, of course, the differences that are abundant between huge. What we have written down in paper form, you know, in our graphs and our so on, versus what's really going on in the actual population of people looking at real art in a real world situation. So we picked a few of those questions to tackle and devised this array of paintings as the stimuli, right? And the first picture I did, I was probably two-thirds of the way through, showed, you know, some images to Jen. And I've never personally met her, right? All this is going on in COVID, and so we're on Zoom calls all the time. And she'll be there, by the way, November 4th.
This is exciting. Both of them will be here. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
So I show her this picture, and she's like, "Oh, but it isn't doing this." And I said, "But where is that listed in our kind of rules for me? You know, of like what I could do." But it has to do. No, we go back and forth. We're quoting philosophers, whatever. And I lost that one. So.
She is a psychologist. Right.
And then, and so we learned to be much more close as far as just the steps I was going through, and developed these pictures. So there's that way. Then the second way that it's a really, I think, tight knot, an inextricable, you can't pull them apart, art mm-hmm. and science, is that when you walk in, you're looking at these artworks framed by science. You're walking through it in the way that we prescribe. You're looking at a survey that's asking you questions while you do it. And it's an experience. It's not like one picture matters. It's all 12 matter as a whole. Mm-hmm. And then you report what you see, you give it value, you decide what the art means. And then we're recording that and we're going to report it in a legitimate scientific journal. We're going to do the whole peer-reviewed thing. Thanks to Jen, I'm a qualified researcher over at CUNY now.
I love it. I love it. Of course, this is the, quote, soft science. This is social science, which is my cup of tea as well. But I guess, I don't know. I the whole thing is fascinating. And you've not done this before, or you've tried to do this before, but it didn't gel?
We're not aware of anybody doing this all the way before.
Okay.
So there are groups who have certainly studied, extant artwork, maybe grabbing somebody as they come out of the Picasso exhibit, and then asking some questions. Mm-hmm. There are people, there are people like that moving into art museums, but we are not aware of a group doing this level of collaboration, this type of a collaboration across art and science quite this way.
So what kind of, we only have a couple more minutes, so tell me, what kind of art did you create? Because I've seen your work from abstract to the piece that I have on the cinnamon box is like pointillism on this fabulous unicycle rider.
I remember that one.
Yeah, it's terrific. Now, there's quite a bit in between. So what did you do for this show?
Well, That needs to remain a mystery.
Okay.
As far as the specifics go.
Okay.
They're all oil on canvas. They're the same size, and it is easily the biggest challenge of, you know, stretching my wings as a painter. Just the biggest, widest array of paintings I have ever had to do.
Wonderful. I'm excited to see this. Okay, folks, you listening can also see it. This is November 4th, which is, I presume, a Thursday. Am I right, Kristen?
Yes, that's correct. This next Thursday, I should say.
Right. A week from last night.
5:30, just because there's a lot going on. There's also Nails and Ideas at 7. So we wanted to bump it up a little earlier just to allow room for people who might choose to do both.
Okay. And the art will be up. So can people come a little early even?
Well, you know, we're kind of pushing it. We'll be installing on Monday.
I see. Okay.
So hopefully it'll be up mostly by Tuesday. That's our hope.
Okay. Now, is it Tuesday or Thursday?
Tuesday it'll be up on the walls,
right.
Hopefully, knock on wood. And yes, Thursday they can come any time during the day for sure.
Thursday is
if they want to come a little early and check things out.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's the actual opening.
One more key thing, if I could. We are offering, we're going to give away 100 free prints of the work.
Okay.
One each to the first 100 people who do the survey as a thank you. That's the science side. Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. And then are you and Richard Machman giving a workshop?
We are. The day after, on the 5th, we're going to do a workshop called Playing with the Picture Plane, since both of us do a lot of sort of 3D work. So we're going to explore that.
And Kristen, how do people get involved in that?
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's pretty full. If people want to call me, I can put them on a waiting list, but I think we're pretty much full at this point.
Okay.
But give me a call, and we might be able to fit you in if you're interested.
And the number they should call?
They can call my office number at 503-338-2472 or email me at kshock@classupcc.edu.
Okay. But most important, get over there and see the exhibit. It will be up through January 10th, if all goes well. So if you can't come to the opening, you can still see it. But the opening is going to be very exciting since the two other involved folks are flying in from British Columbia, artist Richard Machman, and from Brooklyn, New York, yeehaw, developmental psychologist, Dr. Jennifer. I think they're all doctors. I don't know. You're a doctor, too. I don't know. Jennifer Drake.
Yeah.
So, bunch of doctors. Hey, thank you so much for being here. I look forward to seeing you next week. And congratulations on this fabulous show, Being Moved at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery, part of Clatsop Community College. Thank you, Kristen Schock. And Paul Roots, for being my guests today.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much, Carol.
You bet. Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
Got some music for my next guests, Adams and Costello, brand new music. Have a listen.
Tell me it's all right, we'll make it through. You used to hold me so tight and take away my blue. Now all I seem to do is worry about you. Now all I seem to say is don't worry, it's gonna be okay. In this cruel world, try not to worry. In this blue world, it's hard not to cry. In this cruel world, it's hard not to worry.
Now all I seem to say is don't worry, it's gonna be okay. This cruel world, you try not to worry. This blue world, it's hard not to cry. This cruel world, it's hard not to worry. This blue world, you try not to cry. Overgrown, house in disrepair. I can't feel you anywhere. Can't feel you
Yes. How wonderful. Hey, I've got Julia Adams. Julia there?
I'm here.
Okay, and Michael Costello.
Thank you for having us, Carol.
Okay. Well, that was fabulous. That is the latest of their... They're going to tell us what the heck they're doing, but that is the latest release from their new album, Worry About You. And they're here today. Many of you are familiar, many of you locals are familiar with Adams and Costello because they play locally, or used to play a lot locally before the world shut down. And they're gearing up again. They are going to be performing at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach November 6th at 7:30 p.m. So that's Saturday night, a week from tomorrow, at 7:30. And you can go to Coaster Theater, that's re.com, for tickets. And there are all sorts of course, safety rules in place. You can read about them there. But I want to first congratulate you on all this new music. Is this your second of the releases or your third?
This is the second release off of the album that we've been working on. So Worry About You is the second release.
Okay. The name of the album is One by One so far?
Yeah, One by One.
Okay.
And that's the name also of the first single that we released in springtime.
Right. So what's been going on? Did you write all of this music during the pandemic, during the shutdown, or is this stuff you've been gathering over time?
I would say we've been gathering it over time. We've been, we wrote some before and some during the shutdown. We were really fortunate to connect with an amazing production team, Brett Levick, who is down in Ashland, and Jim Chapdelaine, who's doing the mastering, and he's on the East Coast, and so we're because of the shutdown, we've had to do everything remotely. Mm. So we've been tracking our guitars and vocals here in our home studio and then sending them to Brett who's doing the mixing and instrumentation down in his studio and mixing and production. And then after things get finalized, they get sent over for mastering over on the East Coast. So it's all remote and kind of slow.
Yeah.
But it's been an amazing journey figuring out how to do all this. And we're just so grateful to connect with these guys.
Well, yeah, you've developed a whole new style of working by force. You had to, but perhaps that will come in handy. And the slowing down seems appropriate for these days. So the song that we just played, that, of course, was sung by Michael, lead vocal, with Julie in the background. And then it was also written by Michael. I see that the first one, One by One, was the reverse, written and lead vocal with Julie, and lead guitar is Michael. So I know, quick backstory, Julie's from the West Coast, Michael's from New England. How did this happen? I don't know, where did you meet? He out here?
Great question. Well, we met at a Lucinda Williams concert in Boston.
Oh.
Sort of from there, I mean, we did a long distance thing for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and eventually Michael moved out here. But through that meeting and that connection, we actually also connected with Lucinda Williams herself, going back to one of her shows 5 years after the day we met, and then
Sweet.
She met us after the show, and we got to connect with her. And so she's been a force in our musical connection as well, and an inspiration and a mentor of sorts. And so over time, we've just evolved and developed our sound, and you know, being intimately connected and creating music together is quite a thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's 24/7.
Yeah, yeah. 24/7.
For better and worse, and especially these days, it was probably even more. And I know you had a gig scheduled for Kala that had to be canceled. So hopefully you'll be getting back there at some point. I guess we're just all of us living from day to day, hoping that nothing bizarre happens so that all of these plans can go through. Has there been an upside to being shut down? Did it help in your writing? The idea of worry about you, crueler than blue, in terms of the themes, and what made you decide to release this as a one by one?
Well, I think, the shutdown definitely affected our songwriting. You know, because when you get taken out of your regular routine, it's pretty jarring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, I think as an artist, it's great. It's beneficial. I mean, a few times, our whole town was locked down, and there was really nobody supposed to be allowed in or out. You know, it was mm-hmm. kind of crazy. Just walking around going, where is it? Everybody.
Yeah.
So it kind of gave us a little time to take a pause and evaluate things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, getting older too as a songwriter, we're definitely, you know, we're picking up on different themes than when we were younger songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, maturing.
Can you, flesh that out a little bit?
Well, I think, you know, I've been writing songs since I've been a teenager, and, you know, I'm writing songs about partying and being young and all that stuff. But now as you get older, I'm like, you know, I'm in my mid-50s, and you start dealing with a lot of loss. You know, mm-hmm. you lose a lot of friends and family, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, your themes, songwriting themes, and change a lot. And
mm-hmm.
But also, you know, getting older is such a, you know, just like, I never, when I was a young man, I never liked walking. I thought walking was a waste of time. I'm like, we can do better than walking. We can mm-hmm. take a bike ride, that's faster. Or we can take a car, that's faster. But now, taking a walk on the beach or in the woods is like the greatest thing in the world to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just gives me reflection, you know, time for reflection.
Nice.
It's just great, you know. And, you know, it just, everything changes as you get older, and you have to look at the bright side, the bright side of the room.
Well, the bright side is you're still here. And since
exactly.
I'm a whole generation older than you, and so I think of that every day. I give thanks, gratitude for being here, you know, about the upside of growing older. The alternative is something else. And especially right now, we've been talking about the veil being thin and Dia de los Muertos and Halloween, Hallows Eve and all of that. But Julie, how about you? That was pretty articulate on Michael's part. What about you? Have you...
Yeah, I feel like this time that we're living in is surreal. Mm-hmm. It has been a surreal amount of challenge for so many people. And, I mean, I think that the shutdown itself was beneficial artistically, but also just it's been a scary time. I mm-hmm. mean, people have been going through so much, and it's every time you turn around, you know, people you know are struggling in various ways. And so I just feel like for me, The quiet parts of it have been really helpful for my soul and my creative side, but it's also, I feel like it's important to be a voice to speak to the things that people are experiencing, and to try to write, you know, on behalf of, you know, or speak to what I'm feeling when I see people struggling. And so I just feel like this time is, I never thought I would live through a time like we've lived through in the last year or two. And it's important to be grateful every day that, you know, we're alive and we're here, and, you know, sending love out to those who have struggled and suffered. And I just think that music is a healer, mm-hmm. and it's healing. You know, when we can create music, even in the simplest of times in our living room, we can create music together. It just takes your mind off of everything for a minute, and the moment that you're in it is rich and healing, and it's love, you know. So that's what what I focus on.
Yeah, and you know, when you say you never thought that you would live through something like this, I don't think most of us could have imagined a time like this. Although it's happened before in history, so yeah, it's an experience. Well, I am thrilled that you two have been so productive, and that you were able to connect with terrific talent in other parts of the country. And again, you might not have done that in normal times, but now everything is not in person anyway, so this worked out quite well.
It's very strange. And I'd love to just thank Patrick Lathrop, the executive director of the Coaster Theater, because he informed me this is going to be the first musical concert at the Coaster in over 2 years.
Wow.
The shutdown.
Wow.
So,
well, let's remind people this is happening on the 6th, which is a week from tomorrow night. I should say that apropos of what Michael just said, we're listening to Adams and Costello, by the way, Julie Adams and Michael Costello. The Coaster has hosted theater, and this is the last weekend for The Picture of Dorian Gray. So it's the closing weekend, 7:30 Friday and Saturday night. So you can call them up, 503-436-1242. Get your ticket for Adams and Costello and for the show, if there's any left, or go online to coastertheaterre.com. And when do you foresee, at the concert, are you going to be doing more from this album or just these three songs and then the rest of your music?
We are going to be doing a lot of new songs at this show.
Great.
And we're going to be joined by Flint Rice on the drums, and mm-hmm. Richard Tomasian is going to be playing bass.
Nice.
We have Les Canacuni doing sound. He works over at Kala mostly, so he's going to be helping us out with sound.
Great.
And so I just feel like we have right now, I feel like we have a really amazing team of people with good spirits that we're all coming together to try to make the best night, you know, we can. Just like with the album, the production team, I feel like we're releasing Worry About You officially on the 5th of November, which is the night before the show at midnight. And so this is a sneak peek we just got to hear.
Whoa, folks. Thank you.
No, it's good. That's what we want. We want to share our music and get it out there. And so we're just really grateful for all the people on this, and the show should be really fun. And also, Patrick's doing a great job of trying to create a safe environment for everybody to come enjoy the music.
So, absolutely. Now, tell us how folks can... we are out of time. Just give us a website for you or some way to contact or listen to your music or whatever.
Follow us on Instagram at AdamsandCostello1 or website AdamsandCostello.com. And come to the Coaster Theater.
There you go.
Thank you, Carol, for supporting our music.
You bet. I've been enjoying your music for years, and I'm delighted that you're back in play. Congratulations again, and thanks for being here on Arts Live and Local. Take
care.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. I've got one more guest. And I mentioned that the Coaster is happening tonight. Also, tonight is the, forget it, it's sold out, folks. The Weir is sold out at the 1015 Theater. They only were selling 40 tickets per. Small theater and safety. So it's, you'll have to wait till it comes back around. But Witches, Wizards, and Waffles are happening this weekend. And you can go to Sparrow Dance Company Astoria, Sparrow Dance Co. Astoria.org for that information. And also, underground tours are happening with Jeff Daly. And the Eugene Landry Show that we've talked about here is open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 5, at the Shoalwater Bay Heritage Museum in Tokeland. Don't miss that. And more happening, too, I'll let you know. But here's a piece for Halloween, and then Marianne will be with us. Thanks for being here, folks. Arts Live and Local, KMUN.org. Oh, yeah. Woo. So that's to let us all know when we talk about witches during Halloween, let's think about it a little bit. I know that my listeners are all quite well educated on the issue, and there's certainly more and more on radio about what horrors were done, especially to women, then and sometimes still now. So that was Touchstone, the group Touchstone with Susanna Martin. And that's an LP, folks. Yeah. I don't have a year on it, but Michal O'Donnell is on it, as is Triona Needonnell. And Mark Roberts, oh my God, all these people. So, okay, my last guest is on the line. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Carol.
Okay, glad you're here. Marianne Monson, who is no stranger to anyone who listens to this show and or lives in the literary world of Clatsop County. Marianne is the founder of the Writers Guild of Astoria, and this big project she's undertaken, there have been lots of them, but this one she has, and the Writers Guild entirely, is bringing the Pulitzer Prize in poetry. He's an award winner right up and down the line. Dr. Jericho Brown is coming to Astoria on the 5th of November, and that is a week from today. And he will be there at 7, is it 7 or 7:30? Not
7.
Sure. 7, okay. At the Liberty Theater, 12th and Commercial, libertyastoria.org. You can get your tickets to hear this amazing writer, poet, author, and also he's a bit of a performer. He's been an instructor, a professor, so you know he's got to be a performer. That's how you keep your crowd. So, Marianne, tell us more. I just gave a tiny little bit. Tell us who Jericho Brown is and why you decided to bring him.
Yeah, thank you. That was a great overview. As you said, Jericho is an immensely talented poet. He's a wonderful human being. He's incredibly charismatic and so interesting to listen to. He's a truth teller, I would say. That's a big part of the appeal of his poetry is some of the challenging truth that he really calls us to confront about our society and our modern world. And yeah, it's going to be a beautiful evening, so I hope people will join us.
So where did you meet up with Jericho Brown?
Yeah, so in 2019, his book, The Tradition, came out, and that's the book that would win the Pulitzer Prize, but he came and spoke at Portland Book Festival, which is an event that I really love and have attended for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and saw a pop-up reading with him in the Portland Art Gallery, and it was a pretty small group. I was lucky that it was a very intimate group, and just was so moved by his reading. I had heard him read on NPR, on public radio, but seeing him perform his work live was just really moving to me. And we had on the Writers Guild had recently worked with Forest Visions Project to help with Kim Stafford's visit to Astoria.
Right.
And as I've listened to Jericho, I just thought, oh, it would be so amazing if we...
Right.
And I specifically thought, like, oh, it would be so amazing if we could have him at the Liberty Theater. Went up and introduced myself and talked a little, asked him if he'd ever been to Astoria, which he hasn't, but... but he was really open to the idea, and that, of course, was before the Pulitzer Prize was announced for that year, which he won, so I felt lucky that I had sort of lined that up before he became quite as famous, well-known as he is now.
Now, originally, perhaps you were going to have some workshops as well, but now it is... just the performance. Did you go ahead with the poetry contest?
Yeah, and actually we are still doing workshops. So he will be at Seaside High School in the morning talking to high school juniors and seniors over there. And then in the afternoon he's going to be at Clatsop Community College, and he's going to be doing a creative writing intensive workshop for area writing instructors and poets, and if anybody, there are still a few spots for that, so if anybody wants to come, they can email me directly.
Why don't you give your contact quickly,
sure.
Because we
yeah,
only
you
have,
can do yeah. info@thewritersguild.org and use our contact info through the Writers Guild. They can also just email me at marianne.monson@gmail.com.
Okay. Apropos of speaking of poetry, the day before that, the night before, on Thursday the 4th, at the Fort George, Clatsop College is featuring Ales and Ideas with Poetry Is Not a Luxury. Isn't that perfect? Right before Jericho comes.
Yes.
And that's with
Nancy Cook.
Nancy Cook
is
doing
that.
Friends. So that's
great.
That's the same night as the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery opening. So it's, this is quite a landslide of arts and poetry. So Jericho, I think he's in his mid-40s or something, although he looks about 20-something.
I know, yes.
But
he's a few months younger than me, actually. I just noticed that today.
Okay,
yes.
And he does have, he did follow academics as well. He's got a PhD. I'm talking to all these artists with PhDs today. It's kind of funny. His writing seems to have really taken off. The first one, Please, got the American Book Award. The second one, The New Testament, got the Anisfield Wolf Book Award. And then he hit the jackpot with the Pulitzer for poetry. So you, listeners, you can hit the jackpot also by going to libertyastoria.org and getting yourself a ticket for this performance, which is, again, a week from today. It's Friday night, the 5th, at 7 p.m. And will some of the local poets be reading their material as well?
Yeah. So we're actually doing a VIP wine and cheese reception at 5:30 for people who are interested, and Jericho will be there. So that's kind of a nice opportunity to interact with him in a small group. And
lovely.
Yeah, more informal setting. Yeah. So that's at 5:30. And then at 7, we'll be having Jericho read.
Mm-hmm.
And we will also be having three local poets who won a poetry contest to have the opportunity to read their work on the stage with Jericho. So they will be reading. And then that will be followed by an interview with myself. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm going to interview
but
him. And actually, if people want to send us questions that they want to ask Jericho, they can use the same contact forms that I mentioned before.
Okay, but we will be hearing him talk and read as well, yes? want to guarantee
well, he's reading,
that.
And
yes.
then I'm interviewing him.
He's
going to be talking most of the night, but then the three poets will read their work.
Okay, so. Sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Marianne, and I look forward to seeing him and you. Okay.
Yes.
Take care now.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, it's time for us to, for us to move on to the next show, and I am going to put a little bit of maybe music in the background. This is the Halloween rehearsal from Russ Berenberg. And just want to remind you that Rick's open mic is happening on Tuesday the 2nd, and that is by Zoom. And don't forget, Dia de los Muertos is the 1st and 2nd. So get your ofrenda, your altar, ready to go. Cannon Beach opens their exhibit on Wednesday the 3rd, and you heard about Thursday, and Southwester Arts is tomorrow. Thanks for being here. This is Carol. Very glad to be here. And don't forget, it's up to us, folks.